My name is Jameson, one of the pastors here. And first time I said that so far, so we're working it out. Hey. That's what my heart is saying right now. So excited to be a part of what God is doing here. How many know God is doing something amazing in this church? I'm telling you. Just seeing people serve from all over the place. Last week when we had the breakfast, my heart was just so filled with joy. You could just see the people just connecting and sharing stories, and just wanted to be a part. And community is huge, and how building relationships are huge. And so I was just so filled with joy last Sunday. It was just a picture of what's yet to come. I'm telling you, God is doing something amazing here, and you're part of it. You're part of it. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you. Some of y'all say, not yet. Some of y'all say, not yet. Not yet. I'm still checking it out. I'm still peeping it out. That's cool. But just excited to see what God wants to do. And last week we shared 1 Corinthians 13 about diversity of gifts and how we need each other, how different is no less than, but how we do, nor to have oneness, you have to have unity in the body. And this week we get to share about love. We talk about love. And love is a broad word. And oftentimes when we say love, we all have kind of like a picture of what love is and what it could be and what it, maybe out of our experiences. So this connotation of love, you know. And how many know in this world today, we need to know what true love is. We need to know to define what's the definition of what is love. Because we can say a lot of things like, you know, I love pizza, you know, love ice cream, I love, you put a name on it, and it has, when you say love, that's kind of, it sometimes has lost its power, right? Has lost its influence to affect something. And so we get to talk about this love picture. And I was praying like, God, like, what is it? What do you want to say to people? What do you have for us today? And I really found out that we really have to find this definition of love. We got to know what is God telling us about love and how we ought to live out. And you can be talented. We can have gifts. We can do many great things, but it has to be love leading out. That all this stuff will fade away unless we have love together in there. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And I want to share with you a few things that the word love has. And there's three types in the Bible where the word love comes up. And if you don't know, in the Bible, depends on what translation you have, the word love comes up almost 310 times in the Bible. So that lets you know God wants us to know something about love. Yeah? 310, it says, I want you to know something about this love. And so the first one, love, this type is called eros. I put a spin on it. It's Greek, but I sounded Spanish. Eros. That's what came out. But this eros, this type of love is the physical kind of love, right? When you're attracted to somebody. If you got married, you know, that physical attraction is the first thing. Oftentimes it's what connected us. So that eros is that physical attraction that pulls us to somebody. Now, in that can be good and bad if not done in the right context, right, of love and marriage and relationships, because if it's not done in the right context, a lot of brokenness can come out of that physical attraction, right? Because we lean in on what our experiences were. We lean in on trying to be loved, and so because we may have gotten this connotation of what we thought love was, whether we had a bad relationship with our father, maybe mom didn't show us genuine love, maybe it was a bad breakup or something. And so we're trying to find love in all the wrong places, right? And so we get attracted to physicalness and think through the attractiveness, I'm trying to keep it PG. All right, so So through that physicalness, if I can find it through that, then maybe I'm loved. Maybe I can find my worth through the physicalness. But that leaves us empty. It's still trying to fill a void from whatever experiences we have gone through. And so we really haven't got the concept of that true love because we identify it with physicalness. Okay, that's the first one. The second one, I said eros. The second one is phileia. Phileia mignon. Phileia. That's how I remembered it. Sorry. but this type of love is that brotherly, sisterly love. Most times talked in the Bible, but it's not so deep, but it's more so when you come in, it's like, you know, I love you. Sometimes it's that command, love one another, love your neighbor. It's like, I do, I love you. Now, it may not be deep, genuine, but I love you. And Christ has told us to love one another. So you have that brotherly, fatherly, sisterly, that's my sister in Christ, that's my sister, that's my friend. And so you have that relationship, but it's still not rooted in the authentic, genuine of what true love is. Okay, so you have two types of love that we try to live out of, but yet trying to experience ourselves, and that comes out of our brokenness. And so that's two types, but this one Paul is talking to us about this morning is called agape love. It's the highest and most intense form and deepest form of love. This term defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is a divine love that comes from God, that perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure love. The one that has no strings attached to it. No strings attached to it. Because when we say love in our humanness, oftentimes we want something attached to it. Right? I love you because you did this for me. I love you because you can give this to me. Or even sometimes maybe you felt love because you gave something to somebody else. And so you identified love with that. And Paul is saying that's not the kind of love we ought to be living in. It's this unconditional love. No strings, no, nothing. It's this love. And so it says here, 1 John 4:7, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I'm going to say that again. God is love. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I love that. It's not that we love God, but that God loved us. In our brokenness, in our mess, in our sin, he loved us. Because God is love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love made complete in us. The Lord shows us how we ought to reflect to one another. He shows us the glimpse of how we ought to see each other, the perspective of how we ought to love one another. And I was praying, I was like, God, like, with this word love, I was like, give me something like in my experience where I've seen this happen. Give me something like that. I was just praying, like, God, show me something because I get love, I get it, but I don't know, maybe you guys talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time. So I'm like, God, like, show me what this means. What does that look like in my own life? And he brought me to a scripture that so often we say it, but sometimes we can skip over because it just has become so natural. And you guys know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We know that scripture. We say it. It gets posterized. Tim Tebow rocks it around his eye. We think it's great. But if you read it and understand it, for God loved, he gave. For God loved Jameson that he gave his son, he gave. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm seeing this scripture, and I'm like, oh, that's powerful. But God, what? Show me a little more, like, in my life. And so last night, I'm studying, right? I'm at Starbucks. Thank God for Starbucks. And it's 3:30. I'm like, all right, God, I'm sitting. I'm like, all right, I like to be transparent, so rock with me for a second. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, God, what do you want to share? And I'm sitting there, an hour goes by. I'm like, all right, you know, nothing. And I'm like, all right, you know, five, all right, put some worship music on. I'm like, all right, here we go. All right. Nothing, right? And so I'm like, oh, man. This is going to fail tomorrow. And so this lady comes in, and she says, can I sit there? I said, sure. And she sits, and this Colombian lady, and she starts asking questions. I got my books out, got my Bible and stuff, and make it look like I'm deep, but I wasn't really being deep. And so I'm like, you know. And so she starts asking questions a little bit, you know. And I'm like, you know what? No, you try to give short answers. Just kind of like, I got stuff to do. So she asked a question, like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, can you watch my stuff? I'm like, yeah, yeah. She's like, what do you want? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? And so, like, all right. And then she comes back, and then my friend comes in, and he has to preach today. And so he said, hey, let's kind of bounce some stuff off. I was like, all right. So we're kind of bouncing some stuff off together, but we're not really getting anything. And so another gentleman comes in and sits beside us. And so he hears us talking about the Bible, and he leans over, and I look over, and I'm like, ah, oh, he wanna jump in this conversation, right? So I'm thinking, man, I'm about to preach Jesus real fast, right? Like, get him. And so he leans over, kind of scoots back it over, and he goes, hey, you study the Bible? I was like, yeah, you know, let's study a little bit. And he's like, oh, it's cool. Like, kind of tell me a little bit about this, you know, kind of what you believe. Like, are you Christian? I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. And I'm sharing, and he's like, well, I don't believe that. I'm Muslim. And I said, all right, here we go. And now, I'm, you know, you're ready, but you don't know. And as I'm getting ready to defend my faith, the Holy Spirit says, no, I just want you to listen. I just want you to listen. And so I'm just, because I just really wanted to learn and hear his perspective. And so he's sitting over here, and he was locked and loaded. He's a doctor. He was ready to go. And he's like, so tell me why you believe this, and tell me why you believe this. But this is why I believe this, and this is why I don't believe this. And we came to the conclusion we have fundamentally different viewpoints, that they believe in God. So we believe in God, but we don't believe that Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected for that. We don't believe that. And he said this words. He said, I don't understand how a God who loves me would do that. That doesn't look like love to me. I was like, oh. And my heart at that moment just went, whew. Because he couldn't comprehend love. That a God would love us, that he would die for us. Which made this scripture come a little bit more alive. Like it meant just a little bit more to me 24 hours ago. Now than it did 24 hours ago. Because now I'm like, man, God, you loved me this much that you would send your son for me. And yet here's someone who I just met doesn't believe that. And I said, I didn't want to argue with him. I didn't want to debate with him. My heart was just like, man, I pray you find love. I pray you find this true, authentic meaning of love, that God loved you so much that he sent himself for you. And at that moment, my heart was just like, man. Because not just for him, but for so many people who have not yet received the genuine, authentic love. No conditions. Nothing attached to it that you have to perform to receive my love. You know, it's like, I loved you in your mess. I loved you right where you were at. I loved you, for I am love. That's it. But you have to have the faith to believe in that. And what would be a church that we loved each other like that? What would be a church that said, you know what? I know it says 1 Corinthians starts talking about these gifts. But what if love led out? What if love let out? And Paul is writing to the church. He said to the Corinthian church, we shared last week, they're arguing about who's better. I'm better. No, I'm better. My gift is more. Put me there. I'm better. I can serve better. I can do this stuff better. It's all about me, 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 me. And Paul is saying, it's great that we have gifts and we need diversity in gifts, but if 13 is not attached to it about love, it's all meaningless. If love is not let out. 1 Corinthians, he takes us to 1 Corinthians. Before we even go to 1 Corinthians, he jumps in 12:31. He said this. He talked about all the gifts, and he ends it with this note before he goes to 13. He says this. He says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. I know we talked about gifts, and we talked about the power of that and diversity. We need those. But I'm going to show you something that's even more powerful that we have to have. I'm going to show it to you. And so he says this in verse 13:1. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men of angels, but I do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, which means a hollow reverberation. My first point, if you want to write, is this. It says, it's just the effect of love. The effect of love. Imagine, he says, a hollow clanging cymbal. So imagine you got a cymbal, right? And when you hit the cymbal, you can hear it, right? It goes, that's the sound waves going out, and you can hear the cymbal going out. But if you take that cymbal and you hold it and you hit it, it goes nowhere. It makes no noise, it has no effect. So he says, if you're not loving, you're like the hollow cymbal, it has no effect. Which, in other words, when you start leading in love, you will have a big effect, right? And so he says, I need you to lead out in love, because if you don't lead out in love, everything else is meaningless. For if you have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if you have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Verse 3 says this, if I give you all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. In fact, that's probably the most extreme expression. He said, even if you express yourself in the most extreme way, but it's not attached to love, it means nothing. You can give to the poor. It means nothing. You can have all the eloquent sounds, it means nothing. You can have all the knowledge and understand everything, Greek, Hebrew, if you have it, but if it's not led in love, it means nothing. And so we have to be a church that leads out with love, that leads out in love. For that is the power in which Paul is telling us that we must do and lean out. It says this, one of the two statements that I know, you may resonate with this, says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I don't know about you, but I've been in tough spots and tough situations, and I didn't need at that time more information. I needed somebody to care for me. I didn't need how to break down Greek and Hebrew. I just needed someone to say, man, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're doing amazing. I'm here for you. Talk to me. What's going on in your life? Let's do life together. What's going on? He says you have to lead out in love. Because if you don't do that, everything else is mean. You can give to the poor and you can feel good about it. But if it's not attached to love, it means nothing. It means nothing. And so we have to be a place where, as a church, we're saying, you know what? All the knowledge and all that, that's great. But how can I love even better? How can I love somebody even better when they don't look like me, talk like me, act like me, think like me? How can I have a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe in me, believe in the things that I believe in? How can I lead out in that? Because I wasn't trying to debate him, wasn't trying to get that, this, because even the point, he wasn't even trying, he actually was trying to convert me over, but that didn't happen. I left that, man, at the end, I said, man, I appreciate you and love you. I appreciate you and love you. Because in all of that, it has to lead out. Second thing here is, outside the first of the effect of love, the second thing is the nature of love. Verse 4 says this: for love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Isn't that powerful? For love is patient, love is kind. It's easy said to do than to live out, isn't it? All the married couples says, yes, yes, yes. She said it up here, she said, you know, when you're getting married, that first stance, you got the googly eyes. Love is patient, love is patient, love is kind, love is kind. I love you. Woo. First couple of months, you ask, are we still in love? Oh, you ask about a year. Hey, we kind of like each other. A couple of years in, you know what? I'm just trying not to kill them. Because guess what? We've equated love to a feeling. Going in and out of love. We fell in love with a lot of love. But Paul writes these words that is not a feeling, but it is an action. That it is continual doing. For love is patient, you continually to be patient. Love is kind, you continue to be kind. Love, what it says, love does not envy, you continue those things. Love does not boast, is not proud. It is actions equated to how we live. Because if we only live by our feelings, love fades away. But God says, I don't live by feelings, I live by actions, which his biggest action says, I'm sending myself just for you. Love is action. He says, I need you to live this thing out. In fact, I was reading, it says, you could even substitute the word love in there in the second part for Jesus. So let's read that. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He doesn't boast. He's not proud. He doesn't dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, for he protects, he trusts, he hopes, he always preserves. To live a life that is worthy is to be full of love. To live a life following Jesus, this example here is that you got to live it out. Not just in sayings, but in my actions of what I do. Because how many know, you've heard love before, but you've seen someone's action that says, that ain't love. And he says, this is how you operate. These are things you have to live out. These are things that you have to continually do, not just on feelings, based on actions. And it's huge for us to live that out. It's huge for us to understand that. And sometimes it's hard to even receive that and be open to, all right, God, but don't you know I messed up? Don't you know I've done this? He says, yeah. But I'm going to keep working this perfection of love in you, because you have to receive it. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. And if you don't, you're still going to be living in this concept of what we think love is, this false perception of what we think love is. And if you do that, you'll always be trying to fill a void that can never be filled except for by Christ Jesus. You have to live out in love. Third thing I want to share is the maturity of love. This is pretty big, the maturity of love. For love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is the part, but what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I fought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childhood. I put my childhood behind me. What is he saying? He says, chapter 12, when you start arguing about who's better than, I'm more gifted, I'm more talented, that's childlike thinking. I'm better, I'm right. I have to have it my way. I have to do things my way. He said, that's childlike thinking, but I need you to mature in your faith, right? And so when I thought like a child, when I argued like a child, that was your childlike. He said, no, maturity says I love and lead out in love whether I'm right or wrong. That's marriage tip 101. I lead out in love because I would rather love well than to be right all the time. That's what children do. They always argue about who's right. I'm right. It's my way. This is better. You got to do it like this. Ah! Some of y'all did that on the way here. Ah! I know, listen, I've been there. Ah! But I found this. Man, when you love, you say, you know what? I don't need to be right. But how can I love you well? How can I love you well? I used to, as a husband, some of the men in here can attest. You know, we try to fix stuff, don't we? We like to fix stuff. And I remember my wife would come to me, and she had just taken a step of faith into real estate. And the first 3 months was a roller coaster. She's full of emotions. And she would come home, and she would be like, man, I just, you know, this is what I'm trying to do and stuff. And as the loving husband that I am, I said, babe, if you know, all you got to do is this. You know, I'm like, if you do this, this, and this, and this, all your problems will be solved, right? Mr. Fix-It. And she got mad at me. I said, babe, why are you getting mad at me? Like, I'm trying to help you. And she's like, I didn't ask you to fix it. I just need you to listen. And I'm like, but my love, I love, listen. It was pure. It was so pure. I didn't need you to fix it. Whether you're right, I didn't need you to fix it all. At that moment in that time, that's not what I needed you for. But I'm right. She didn't care if I was right. All the ladies, wives, yeah. Care. but then I said, was I leading out with love? Was I taking it to God? And then was I expressing that out of genuine care for one another? For God is love. And this unique love can only be expressed through the Holy Spirit, through transformation. Why can a church decide to come together and lead out? Because we saw through the eyes of Jesus and love. We got. It's like, no, like we said last week, we can go farther and faster together because of love leading out the way. Love has to lead out. And I share from my experience because God has transformed my life. He's changed me. He's changed my perspective of how I see people. He changed my perspective. The lenses in which we look through has to be through the lenses of love. Not in our gifts or who's right and who's wrong, but it has to be through the lenses of love. And that love can only happen through the Holy Spirit, this genuine, unconditional love. That you don't owe me anything. You're not obligated for me for anything. But I love you, not for what you do, but for who you are. I love you. But it says in there, it says, you cannot take out truth with love. That, yes, love leads out, but you still have to have truth coupled in there. Just as I was talking to the guy yesterday, like, I loved him, loved where he was at, but it still had to be coupled with truth. And I was sharing with him about Jesus and the truth of that. So it still has to be with that because it says love is dealt with in truth. That you can't divorce the two, but they have to be continually one. I love you enough to share with you truth. But it's in the posture in which I do it, not from a place that I have it all, but a place of surrender and serving. And that's when love leads out. And what would a church look like if we let out in love? What if, you know, casting vision, but man, what a great picture it is. For our children to see how to live and how to love. What a great picture it is. Relationships to see how to lead out in love. What a great picture that the church leads out and shows the world how to love and what true love is. Man, that we're not so intrigued of just get into our Christian little huddle. It's me, myself, and I, and the two. And it's just this. We're saying, no, my hands are open to God. Who do you want to send that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus? That needs to be loved well. Who do you have in my area that that I need to see the lens of Jesus and the lenses of love. Who do you have me around? What neighbor am I connected to that you want me to reach out with? I'm not so isolated over here that I can't see anything else. That I, James, is not so locked in for a message that I didn't see my friend sitting next to me who wanted to hear and know more. That love always leads out. And I pray that you receive this love, that you open up your hearts and we open up our hearts to allowing that love to fill whatever brokenness and whatever void that we may have in our lives. Because God is love, and he says, I came just for you right where you're at so you can experience this unconditional divine love. And what a great picture that is from a heavenly Father looking down on each and every one of us. It's saying, I love you, I love you. I love you, and I love you. I love you, and I love you. And I love you in the back. I love you in the way back. And I love you and you. That he loves you. That he sees you. He loves you. And to receive that unconditional love is so powerful and transformational. And I shared this a while ago. I said, information is great, but transformation is powerful. And what kind of church do you dream about? Do you dream of just coming to church to gain more knowledge? Do you come to church just to have a social outlet? Do you come to church to debate theological questions? Do you come to church for community events and activities? And all those are great. They're left empty because there's no power in that. The power is coupled in the love that we have. And what is a powerful church? Powerful church that leads out that way with love. And I pray as we continue to go forth, and I pray as we continue to move, that this church is seen that's leading God in love, that our homes are opening up to people, that our lives are opening up for other people, that we're making space for other people to come in, because you've realized this. And you guys know this, it's messy, isn't it? People's lives are messy. How do I know? Because I'm a little messy. I got my church face messy. Because, and you guys know this, life happens, doesn't it? Life happens. Some seen, some unseen. Life happens. Circumstances come, things happen. And yet through that, can we love one another in the messy? In the messy. When I'm not always so lovable. Because we all have been there. We all have those days. We all have those days. And I pray that we love each other in the mess. Coupled with truth, but let out in love.